Well, folks, good morning again. And I can't help but just put this in there as we were singing these songs. Two of them, The Old Rugged Cross, was my dad's favorite song as well. And I know it was Brother Clay's. And, you know, some songs are generational. I don't think we sing some of the older songs enough oftentimes. And sometimes we don't sing some of the wonderful, beautiful new songs. But they all have a way of touching us. And it is well with my soul, I think, touches each and every one. And I pray that it is well with your soul as you are here this morning. Now, on a it's both serious and a little bit lighter note, I have to say, my heart goes out for Brother Mark. He's up here trying to lead this congregation, and he's having to constantly put up the guardrails because when I sing in, it's going to pull him way off track. He's got a hard job. So, Brother Mark, in spite of that, I hope all is well with your soul.
Good, I just sing loud.
You see, we all need direction in our life, don't we? And we need direction this morning. Today is a joyful day, but it's a hard day. These days come to all of us. Ecclesiastes 3:2 tells us, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Folks, that's part of life. And we will all face it, and we have all faced it in our lives with our loved ones. We all face it a little bit differently. It affects us differently. We're all different people. Things are going to happen in our life, and one of those things is the loss of our loved ones. But Romans 12:15 tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And folks, with the passing of a loved one, a believer in Christ, there's both weeping and there's rejoicing. You know, we weep because of the loss that we feel. We're not weeping for the person that has gone on to be with the Lord. We weep, though, because things go by so fast. It seems like just in the blink of an eye, someone can be lost to us. For other people, the loss comes and it's expected. Sometimes it's a long, long struggle. But nevertheless, we weep because somebody that we love dear is no longer with us. But folks, there is also rejoicing. But as you look at a life, it's good that we weep. It shows that we care and that we love. If you think about a person's life, we can think about Psalm 90. It applies to you and I. It applies to all of us. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. And some of you here have well exceeded that already. Brother Clay certainly exceeded that. So many of our members did. How blessed were they? We have to stop and count our blessings. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. That is true for all of us, folks. However long we are given on this earth, and it's different for each person, our life will be filled with work and labors and troubles, and then it's cut off and we fly away. We grieve, folks, because that person that we loved has flown away, is not with us any longer. But folks, we also rejoice. When we think about the person that is gone, it is a reason to rejoice. Sometimes we got to clear away the smoke screens and not just let our emotions overcome us. When we think about why should we rejoice for the person that has gone on, I'd like you to repeat this with me. It's on the PowerPoint. I want you never to forget it. Because God knows His people, and He holds them in His hands. That's true for me and you. Let's read it one more time. Because God knows His people, and He holds them in His hands. And folks, He holds each of us here today in our hands. And He holds Brother Clay and Sister Rachel in His hands. He holds all of us in His hands. I want you to read with me in your, you don't have to read out loud, but as we read Psalm 139, and I want you to think about yourself. I want you to think about your loved ones. I want you to think about anybody dear to your heart. Because this is true. For you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. You see, folks, God knows your story. He wrote it. The days that we have allotted to us, God knows. He has written them. Even before we were born, before the foundation of the world, God knew you and God loved you. And your faith is evidence of that as a child of God. But I want you to understand how dear and precious you are to Him. You know, sometimes our troubles in life make us think, well, God doesn't care. Hard times come. We struggle. We see loved ones struggle. We see some people's lives that are just filled with constant turmoil. But folks, I'll tell you now, you don't know what is inside each and every person's heart, do you? We don't always live, including us, the lives that we should have. And I'm going to tell you that your immediate behavior at the moment is not always reflective of what's in your heart in a deeper level when it comes to knowing God. And your current circumstances, be them great, be them wonderful, be them sad, be them terribly burdensome, those circumstances are not reflective of the love that God has for you. This too shall pass. God holds us in His hands. But sometimes we want to forget that. If you look at old Israel, they went through torturous times because of their backsliding and their idolatry of worshiping other gods when God had blessed them so much. In Isaiah 49:14 and 16, let's stop and read this just for a moment slowly. But Zion said, that's Israel, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me, because they were being punished. You see, it's easy to think that our present circumstances, God has forgotten us. Well, folks, that's not true. And the Lord answers in the very next verse, and He says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Say that with me. I will not forget you, says the Lord. See, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. You want to think about you are dear to the Lord? You are inscribed in the palms of His hands. And He will not forget you. Folks, just read the story. Think about your story. Think about your life. You were known to God before the foundation of the world. And those prints, those scars, and those nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ tell your story. Because He knew you. And He loved you before the foundation of the world. And He died and bled for you to redeem you, because He loved you even before you were born. You see, God knows the story of our life, and you are precious to Him. You are in the palm of His hands. We are all in the hands of God. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, 37 through 40, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at that last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. How beautiful that is, because if you recognize the different tenses Jesus is using, He knew you, that God has given Him before the foundation of the world. He entrusted us into Christ, into His care. because only Jesus could pay that price that we need. And I hope you notice, nowhere in here did Jesus say, "And all that God gave me who has led a perfect life," because nobody lives a perfect life. That's the reason Jesus came, to do the will of the Father, because we needed redemption. Ephesians 1 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Because of Jesus, folks, we can stand before the God without blame. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Because of what Jesus did. Folks, that's what grace is all about. You know, our loved ones, our friends, our family, our church members, we know good people. We know people that may not live the best lives. We need people that live almost perfect lives. Brother Clay, being such a devout man, what an example he was. But folks, nobody is able to stand before God without condemnation unless they are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And folks, that is by grace. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." You see, when we try to judge other people, it is incumbent upon us to judge morality and bad behavior. And there is a lot of wickedness out there in the world. There was a whole bunch of it displayed in the Olympics, I understand. But that's not for today. But that is a Christian's responsibility as the light of the world to speak out against that type of thing. To uphold the moral standard that God clearly gives us in the book. But we are not supposed to judge other people's salvation. Some people want to criticize and say, well, they don't believe in deathbed conversions. Well, folks, I just turned to the thief on the cross, and that's a perfect example of a deathbed conversion. You never know what is in another person's heart. The struggle of their lives, the backsliding is not necessarily reflective of it. They may need help, they may need guidance, but what they need mostly is prayer. But folks, nobody is beyond the reach of God. And it is only by God's grace that we have hope. We have hope in Christ because of what He did. We know that, folks. That's what faith is all about. And we believe that, and we know it, and we live it. What an example of faith Brother Clay was. We need to learn from that example. And others, what an example of you folks, of undying faith that you have. And I'm thankful for it. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see, folks, that's what our faith teaches us. And that's one of the reasons why we rejoice. When we overcome our own sorrows of loss and we start thinking about the believer and the faith that they have lived their life by and the way they have walked, it's a reason to rejoice, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Folks, Brother Clay, what a dear soul he was. He lived his faith. He wasn't perfect, but he walked by faith, knowing and trusting in God. And folks, I'm going to tell you now that the Lord holds Brother Clay in his hands, as he does all of us. The Lord knew him before the foundation of the world. And he knows him now. Because to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, folks, I want to turn to the main topic. That precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Precious. You know, in some ways that seems like an oxymoron. Because when we think of the death of somebody, again, we look inwardly and we feel that loss and it hurts. But it tells us here that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. That's Psalms 116. That was our opening call to worship. So I just want to give you a little bit of an example of why that's the case. Why is it precious to God? Well, I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons, and there's not enough time to go through them all. But I want to just want you to consider, as we rejoice for the loved ones, The death of a Christian is precious because it releases that soul from suffering and pain that we all experience here in this life. We all do. We read that in Psalms. We all have our struggles. Ecclesiastes kind of, I believe, describes this very succinctly. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 and then verse 7. And to the young people here, this first verse is for you. To establish the relationship with God early on, because it will build your faith and strengthen you to help you in the days that will come in the future. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You know, folks, that summarizes our lives in another way, like we read previously in Psalms. Most all of us, if we live long enough, most all of us are going to have trials. We're going to have health issues. And we're going to have those days when there's just not a whole lot of pleasure in them. But you know, I believe that some of that is by design. Well, number one, because we live in a sin-cursed world, and we are not immune from it. And the effects of living here, the older we live, our bodies break down. That's all because we are under the curse of sin. We're not going to live forever because we are sinners. And the curse of sin is death. It comes to us all. John Quincy Adams was our second president. And when I read this, it made me think a little bit about Brother Clay. He was asked by a friend of his when he was 80 years old. He was already retired, of course, from being president. A little different from the way it is now at that years, isn't it? He was long retired from being a president. And his friend came up to him and said, "Good morning. How is John Quincy Adams today?" Well, the former president looked at him for a moment, and he was a little shaky. And finally he said, "John Quincy Adams himself is quite well, sir, quite well. But the house in which he lives at present is becoming dilapidated. It is tottering upon its foundations. Time and the seasons have almost destroyed it. Its roof is pretty worn out. Its walls are much shattered, and it crumbles with every wind. The old tenement is becoming uninhabitable, and I think that John Quincy Adams will have to move out soon. But he himself is well, sir, quite well." You ever feel like that description? There's mornings I do. It was not much long after that conversation that he had a second and final stroke, and John Quincy Adams moved from his shaky tabernacle, as he called it, to go home to the house not made with hands. I think of Brother Clay, because he endured, as all people that live long enough, a lot of physical hardships. I remember him when he was young. You know, I think of everybody that's here, him and Brother Merritt, Sister Dale, have known me probably since I was born. If not when I was born, maybe a few years later. But from the 60s, I remember Brother Merritt and Brother Clay for a long time. And I saw Brother Clay, of course, when he was in younger than me, he was tall and strong and vibrant. And he was always a reserved, serious man in some ways. But he had a zeal for church. And it wasn't going to be denied. And if he didn't think other people were living up to that, he'd tell them too. Because he loved this church. Boy, how he loved this church. How he supported this church and how he was here. Again, what an example. But as he aged, he thinned, he had his surgeries, he had stomach cancer in the past. He endured a lot of physical breakdowns. That old house was getting kind of shaky. All of us who went to Bible conference remarked about what wonderful energy he seemed to have being there. I think I said this last Sunday. He had his cane with him. But folks, he used that cane to gently move people out of the way so he could keep going. He didn't seem to need it that weekend. But he was still shaky. all of us, if we live long enough, our bodies will break down. But folks, when it's sometimes it's difficult. There's no pleasure in the days when we're tired and worn out and when we hurt. And I said a moment ago, I think that's by design. Because it helps us to start looking to what's next. As faith that we have all of our lives, we know that death is not the end. Thank God for that. Thank God for the hope that we have in Christ because of what He's done, not because of what we do. You think about the greatness of the Apostle Paul. You think about what he suffered and endured and how broken his body was before he was led to his execution. He knew it was coming. And he said in his letter to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. See, folks, that day will come for all of us. A crown of righteousness. Hebrews says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after that, the judgment. Our rewards. We will stand before the Lord. And when we stand in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, great is our reward in heaven. 2 Corinthians tells us we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And folks, I will tell you right now that when a believer has passed on, when I think of Brother Clay and all believers who have run their race, when their time has come, they will receive that crown of righteousness. And Brother Clay is wearing his right now because he is in the presence of the Lord. And why? Well, I wanted to tell you why. Why do we say that? Why are we confident in that? Because Romans 8, 30 and 31, moreover, whom he did predestinate, and folks, we've been over this now twice already, he knew you before the foundation of the world, your names are inscribed in the palms of the Lord Almighty. He knew you. And those whom he predestinated, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Because of Christ Jesus, folks, are we justified and glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is with us, who can be against us? Who can be against us, folks? It doesn't matter if the world is against you because God holds you in His hands. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, nothing can separate us. Before the foundation of the world, He knew you. He bore that horrible cross for you. He loved you. All of His children, the death of the saints, are precious in His eyes. Because we're not here struggling in the sin-cursed world anymore. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them and they follow Me. You are a sheep because God knew you before the foundation of the world. We are the sheep of His pasture, folks. He knows us. He knows you. And deep down, folks, you know Him. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. And folks, I tell you that every single believer, again, is in the hands of the Almighty. And no one can separate you from the love of God. We may have family members that haven't lived a perfect life. But folks, that's what grace is all about. Because being in the hands of God, we need redemption. We need justification. We need to be made clean. And we are done so because of what Jesus did for us. Because we are in His hands. precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, because it brings us home. Brother Clay has gone home. You see, God is the giver of life. We sometimes think that, oh, this is my life, and we take it for granted that our children are ours. But our lives are truly not our own, and our children, as much as we love them and adore them and do the whole world for them, they belong to God. All life, all breath was given by Him, and it belongs to Him. So when our days are numbered, that He wrote for us, and when He wrote your story, however many numbers they days may be, when the day is done, we fly away and we go home. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the depth of His saints. And I believe with Brother Clay, He's told him, "Well done, my faithful servant." And Revelations tells us, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Folks, this applies, of course, to heaven in the future, in the new Jerusalem that will come down, but it applies to our individual lives when we stand before God, because in heaven, there is no more pain. There is no more arthritis. There is no more anything. There's no more cancer. There's no more struggles of this life. As it says in the old rugged cross, "At last, my trophies I have laid down." And we stand in the presence of Almighty God, justified through the precious blood of Jesus, and there are no more tears. The only, and this I take this from a song, perhaps you've heard it, the only scars in heaven are in the hands of the one who holds you now. Jesus holds us in His hands forevermore. He holds you now, and He holds you in heaven. And folks, I do rejoice thinking that Brother Clay right now is in the hands of the Almighty. I hope and pray that these words may have brought you some encouragement to help us to look why we need to rejoice, even though it hurts, that precious in the sight of the Lord are the deaths of His saints, because His child has come home to Him. May God add His blessings is my prayer for each and every one of us.